Music from Aborigine singer-songwriter Mr. Johnny Huckle. That song, of course, was entitled Is Mother Earth Going to Die? One of the primary purposes of Yad Kiddushin Native Center is education. We're very concerned about the miseducation of both children and adults with respect to indigenous peoples and our diverse cultures, philosophy, ethics, beliefs, knowledge, and worldviews. Yad Kiddushin Native Center's educational programs in schools and our presentations at conferences and community forums are based on providing a more accurate depiction of both our historical and contemporary situations in the world. Sadly, most curriculum material about Native Americans and other indigenous peoples is very inaccurate. Books are full of racist stereotypes. Public school history, for example, does not teach the real true history of relations between Indian nations with the United States and Canada. School children and even most adults don't have any real understanding about contemporary Native people. Hardly ever does the news media ever report on issues important to Indian country. It seems that the only time Native Americans are even thought of is Thanksgiving. Even this Euro-American version of Pilgrims and Poconoket Wampanoag Indians is a fantasy. Ignorance of other peoples and their cultures is what breeds bigotry. It is no wonder why racism towards Native Americans is on the rise, as evidenced by the growing anti-Indian hate groups in the United States. Frank, you have children in the public schools. What are your thoughts about my question regarding education?
Yes, Vanessa, I have two sons, 6 and 9 years of age. They go into they're in the public school system here in the Southwest Florida area. Every morning they have to pledge allegiance to a flag. To me, that's basic stuffing nationalism and so-called patriotism down their throats. If they wanted to love something, why don't they love the land, the mountains and the water and stuff like that, instead of a flag or a state or a victorious general or honorable politician? We need to teach our children to love the land and not the system or the state. There's a very interesting book called Lies My Teacher Told Me by James Lowen. It highlights some of the things that teachers don't know they're lying. It's not a lie. It's just what in the history books that we teach children is basically that the country never did anything wrong. Our history is kind of sanitized, so anything that makes the state itself look bad is kept out of the history books. For instance, Martin Luther King. All you ever hear in the history books is that he was a slain civil rights leader. You never hear that he was vehemently against the Vietnam War, and he spoke out about it in April of 67, and a year to the day later, he was basically assassinated because he spoke out. But where is the freedom of speech in this country? Now, children are being taught, they're being taught to look at history through a rose-colored lens. And if we don't teach the real history, then how can we solve some of the problems that we're having? It's just this continuous road that all we do is good, spread freedom and democracy all over the world, and we're the greatest force for good in the world. But that doesn't answer the question: is why do people hate us so much? If this is true, so we need to take a good, honest look at our history, teach our children the true history. I mean, of course, with age appropriateness, of course, but they need to know what some of the wrongs that were done by our own, some people call them mistakes, but they need to know this information so that they have a true image of what's going on in the world and not some kind of mythical rose-colored we just do good things. They need to know more truths so they can work at the problems that we're having, and we can build a more peaceful world and a better environment, ecologically speaking, for the future.
My next question is on the subject now called globalization, or as I've said repeatedly in our conversation today, colonization and the economic and social exploitations of the lands and peoples of the non-white world. And it is a subject that Yad Kadishi Native Center is very much concerned about because of the cultural, social, economic, ecological impacts this wave of globalization is continuing to do to Mother Earth and to peoples all over the world. I particularly have been very active in protesting the actions, for example, of the World Bank and International Monetary Fund and some of the international financial trade and so-called development programs like NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, CAFTA, the Central American Free Trade Agreement, the Free Trade Americas program in Miami, for example, last year. And I know you also are an anti-globalization activist and in concern about the growing role and, you might say, control of the so-called private sector, multinational corporations, and their greed in pretty much dictating and controlling the terms of trade and so-called development throughout the world. There's a lot of issues about the privatization of water, the way in which agricultural commerce is dictated around the world. And it really also relates to what we talked about earlier in today's program, going back as early as 1493 under that Inter Cetera papal bull delivered by Pope Alexander VI in 1493, which basically was a document shortly after Columbus's first voyage to the so-called New World that expressed the Pope's earnest desire, really allowing the church to subjugate so-called barbarous nations and for the spread of Christian empire in slavery by capturing, vanquishing, and subduing Africans and the peoples of the Americas and Oceania and Asia. And so really now in the new millennium, the year 2004, colonization is continuing under a kind of new name. It's kind of the snake has shed its old skin, and it's now known as globalization. Please talk about your activism and concern about globalization.
Yes, Ernest, that's exactly true. Globalization is just another term for really imperialism, economic imperialism. All these so-called trade agreements that like the WTO and FTAA. I was in Miami on November 20th, 2003, and we were protesting against the free trade area of the Americas. What's really happening is these trade agreements are mostly pushing indigenous farmers off their lands. A statistic in Mexico is like 600 farmers a day are having to leave their land because they can't compete with agricultural products that are coming from the United States because these like big agribusinesses are getting so much subsidies, and that's a real sticking point with all these other countries are trying to make these trade agreements. They want the United States to stop their agricultural subsidies. When you have 600 farmers a day just in Mexico alone having to give up their farms because they can't compete, you know, they move into urban areas and, you know, they become, you know, drug dealers, or they have to, their children or their daughters become prostitutes, or they end up digging through garbage piles and stuff like that. They just can't compete. Here in the United States, 90% of the agricultural subsidies from the taxpayers are going to big agribusiness. They can basically afford to buy a machine that runs over a cornfield and spits out a canned case of corn out the back. I mean, that's exaggerating the technology available, but it's like that. So these farmers can't compete. They're put out of business, and then their lands are basically taken over by big agricultural firms. And it really boils down to, in my eyes, what I believe is that the big corporations are trying to control the food supply. I mean, they're working on controlling the water supply. Once they have that and the control of the food supply, you know, I hate to say it, but all people of the world will be slaves, and they will be so dependent on these people. And there will be no independence, there will be no self-determination for anyone once they get their hands on the food supply and on the water supply. So we have to keep our eyes on this. And once people understand what these trade agreements are all about, they're really going to see this, and we need to rise up and do something about it, because it could be a pretty scary prospect to think that we're going to be, you know, totally enslaved, because we can't be independent, and we can't have our own self-determination because of these factors.
What's the matter with us?
We're so comfortable, cozy.
What's the matter with us?
We're so daydreaming, dozy.
Why are we polluting our children?
There's no future in that.
Why put food in our poison?
There's no future in that.
Why do away with our woodlands?
Nothing to be gained from that.
Why waste the best of our farmland?
Where's the logic in that?
What's the matter with us? Oh, what's the matter with us? Why be warring each other?
There's so much music to know.
Why be fighting each other?
So much good food to enjoy.
Why so afraid of another?
So many countries to know.
Why so afraid of living when there's
so much loving to do?
What's the matter with us? I'm asking, do you know
what's the matter with us?
Music from environmental singer-songwriter Rafi. Frank, I want to thank you for being my guest on Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. I think a good way of concluding our conversation is with a final question focusing on hope for the future. Since the historic 1972 United Nations Conference on the Human Environment in Stockholm, Sweden, there has been a growing momentum of concern about the future well-being of our planet by some leaders of the so-called dominant Western society. We Indigenous peoples who live by the principle of the seventh generation have always expressed our concern for the well-being of Mother Earth. Peoples who live by the principle of the seventh generation have always expressed our concern for the well-being of Mother Earth and future generations. In the Western vernacular, this concept of how humanity is to live together in peace, with social and economic justice, with human rights and respect for cultural and religious diversity, with a clean and healthy environment that supports a rich biodiversity, that treats women equally, cares for children and the elderly, is often termed sustainable development. Sustainable development is presented as a new paradigm of thinking in relating. It's considered a 21st century concept that Western philosophers, scientists, and international leaders advocate. While I endorse this thinking, it is not a new concept by Western thinking people. These concepts are actually ancient wisdoms. They are knowledge passed down through the generations from tribal ancestors to our elders, clan mothers, and chiefs. Our native civilizations were models of what's now called sustainable development. In fact, it is in those few indigenous communities around the world which still carry on traditional cultural lifeways that sustainable development really exists. This is why the voice of indigenous peoples must be respected and listened to. If there is to be hope in the future, then the knowledge and wisdom of indigenous peoples must be followed. Frank, would you agree with my view?
If you look at, say, the history of what is now called North America, the indigenous people lived here for thousands and thousands of years, and the word pollution was never part of their lexicon. Since Columbus came over here, you know, in 500 years, people have turned this beautiful spot into like a toxic wasteland. Indigenous people have been pretty much ignored from the national debate on these issues, but speaking with you on this and getting to know you and a lot of the things you've taught me about your ancestors and other indigenous cultures of Turtle Island, I've learned that they're not listening to you, and we need to listen to people that know how to preserve the ecology. The wisdom, the ancient wisdom, is so important. You know, forget about what they say at the EPA, because they're not listening to people that actually have proven success, thousands of years of protecting the soil, the water, the air. Once we start listening to people of indigenous peoples, we're going to be able to turn this whole thing around. And really, we have to think about our children and their children. Goes back to the seventh generation, which is such a really wise, incredibly wise concept. I have children. I'm concerned about their future. I want them to have clean drinking water, safe food, clean air. So that's why I'm so interested in learning more about indigenous ways of life. And other people also need to listen to this, because it's just so important for our future.
Hey! You are listening to Yat Kedichi Native Centers, Honoring Mother Earth and Indigenous Voices. Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices focuses on protecting Mother Earth and defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples. We are broadcasting on Radio for Peace International. Radio for Peace is the voice of peace, promoter of the environment, champion of human rights, denouncer of hate and injustice, advocate of the oppressed, defender of truth. Radio for Peace International is global community radio.
Well, dear friends, we're nearing the end of our broadcast time together for this edition of Wolf Mountain Native Radio. I want to thank our guest today, Frank Kubasta, for sharing his thoughts on honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. The music we heard in this session first was a song from environmental singer-songwriter Rafi, a reggae tune entitled What's the Matter with Us, speaking about why it seems that the human beings have gone insane with respect to not caring about sacred Mother Earth and protecting the environment. And we also featured a traditional Native American honoring drum song from Red Bull, their CD On the Road Again, from our friends at Turtle Island Music. We're going to conclude today's program with an honor song to our Native American political prisoner brother, Leonard Peltier. This is a situation that we at Yat Kedichi Native Center have continually been involved with, actually since the incident that happened at the Jumping Bulls property back in the 70s with Leonard and the FBI. We urge all of our worldwide listeners to learn more about Leonard's case and to help the International Legal Defense Fund free Leonard, bring Leonard home from prison. Leonard, as most of our listeners know, was framed by the Federal Bureau of Indian Abuse, the FBI. For more information, the website is www.freeleonardpeltier.org. That's www.freeleonardpeltier.org. I really encourage our listeners to get active in that defense. This particular song, an honor song for Leonard, is entitled Free Peltier. It is from the Songs for Justice Project, and this is a fine grassroots Native label, and I have the pleasure of being a part of this project. It consists of singer-songwriter Dennis Harrison, our brother Gabe Horn, Ted Williams, Diana Osborne, my co-director here at Yat Kedichi Native Center, Betty Hurst, and yours truly, myself, Ones on drums. So this is a song entitled Free Peltier. Until the next Wolf Mountain Native Radio program, this is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker, thanking you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Aho, Kinon Wantakwasin, to all of our relations.
I've always known my grandpa to be in prison. Every week, I go and visit him. When we visit, he laughs and jokes around. We always eat from the prison vending machines, but it is hard for him to eat because he cannot chew because the prison did not give him very good health care. I know it hurts him a lot, but he doesn't like to complain or show his pain. When he gets out of prison, I would like to have a horse ranch in the house where he can paint. So please, President Clinton, let my grandpa out of prison.
Thunder of the coming storm. And in the beating of our hearts, in our love so strong, you can feel it in the wind that carries our prayer. And in the sound of our drums, free Peltier.
This divine and harmonious universe. Ease sitting at it down with the twin in what cave. Ease quinico or nick what chirotters. Ease sitting at it down with the twin, you twin. We got in the swacky, you used to twin in what get your quah nitty quinico toss net won't net net all it. Hey, we ask of you to come together with all of our brothers and sisters in this divine and harmonious universe to put a loving and harmonious touch to everything that we have in this universe and to help the free Leonard Peltier and to give to us your love and your healing, your understanding, your wisdom, your grace, your balance, your purification ceremony in our life, energy, divine consciousness. Dikari what not yet. And that means that this prayer goes on forever.